V-79. McCarthy Residence, Birchwood, Colorado. When Dan entered his old family home, next door to the house he'd shared with Emma for the past year, the first person he saw wasn't Tara and it wasn't his father, Henry. Instead, and very surprisingly, it was Timo Fiore. The Italian billionaire and GCC associate member, a great friend of the family, beamed a smile that Dan couldn't quite understand given the political instability swirling around the organization Timo was so deeply involved in. "They're back," Timo beamed, his familiar soft accent tinging the words. "And this time they visited you at my lake house. Tell me, can I claim contact by association?" Dan couldn't help but laugh, despite still not knowing why Timo was so positive about it all. The man's lifelong interest in all things extraterrestrial comfortably predated the recent explosion of interest, as evidenced by his massive investment in SETI observatories around the world, and it slowly struck Dan that Timo was simply excited by the messenger's return in a way that he himself might have been, had he not been seized by shadowy agents in the immediate aftermath. Had there been no Zanzibar Triangle to complicate things, Dan figured he might have already been over his unceremonious detention and experiencing an excited state of mind not unlike Timo's. But there was a Zanzibar Triangle and things were, again, stomach-churningly complicated. "It's good to see you," was all Dan said to Timo, but he truly meant it. After the life-threatening injuries the Italian had sustained in a terrorist attack aimed at halting his efforts to save the world from Il Diavolo, it would always be good to see Timo.
"What about me?"
a voice asked from the kitchen, catching Dan's attention. He turned and saw Tara Ford, looking as bright as a daisy as she stood in the doorway, all teeth and eyes like the world was perfect. She opened her arms, exaggeratedly wide, and walked towards him. "Are you doing okay?" Dan asked, worried about her having heard what Emma and Clark were talking about in the car. Tara pulled back and raised her eyebrows.
"Am I doing okay? I heard about Friday night, mister. Are you doing okay?"
"I'm fine," he replied unconvincingly. "But do you know where my dad is? I want to get everyone together."
"He's with Phil,"
Tara said, pointing towards the back of the house.
"Outside."
Emma emerged through the front door with her suitcase moments later and put it down as soon as she saw Tara. Tara didn't move towards her like she had to Dan, always more reluctant to show her big sister that she needed her, but her eyes gave away how good it was to be reunited. Emma did the walking and hugged Tara tightly before placing a hand on her cheek and looking into her eyes, the visual resembling a mother checking a fallen child for injuries more than anything else.
"Are you okay?"
she asked.
"And it's okay to say no."
"What the hell did Clark tell you guys?"
Tara laughed, amused by their unusually concerned attention. She pointed a finger at herself and ran it up and down.
"Because I know you're not about to stand there and tell me I don't look okay."
It was Emma's turn to laugh now.
"Can you believe I was almost starting to miss you?" she said, happily convinced by Tara's faux narcissism that her apparent malaise had been a temporary one after all.
Clark and Mr. Bird entered soon after Emma. "Phil's already here with Dad out back," Clark announced, continuing straight through the house to get them. "Mr. Bird doesn't know anything at all about Friday, by the way. He wasn't here when Timo told us." Mr. Bird, the loyal neighbor who had been there for Dan during the earliest stages of the IDA leak when no one else could be, glanced around at the faces in the increasingly crowded living room in an effort to gauge whether the news he didn't know was good or bad.
"Well," he said in his usual slow, gentle tone, "I do know they found a triangle on a beach."
As soon as Clark opened the back door, Dan heard rapid and excited footsteps under the laughter that followed Mr. Bird's comment. Rooster, the affectionate spaniel Dan had rescued from Richard Walker's place after the messengers took Walker for the last time, raced through the kitchen and into the living room as quickly as his old legs would carry him. He was more excited to see Dan than anyone, but he stopped very suddenly just a few feet away. Dan crouched to the ground.
"It's okay, boy. They're gone. It's just me."
He held out a hand which Rooster timidly inched towards. He was fully relaxed and nuzzling into Dan by the time Henry and Phil appeared, but his initial reluctance had given Mr. Bird an idea of what he was about to hear. Ever since Dan played the old footage from Lolo National Forest at the drive-in on Contact Day, Rooster's ability to sense the recent presence of the messengers was globally renowned. Indeed, government agents and researchers had performed all kinds of non-invasive tests on Rooster since then, and he had even gone along to some of Dan's monthly checkups for some scans of his own.
Okay, Clark boomed, clapping his hands together. Dan, we're all here. Spit it out.